a song, never gonna do the same for you.
What's up, guys? It's Donna here.
And Holly.
And you're listening to Teaser Talk.
On switch, turn us on, never gonna do the same. You hit the on switch, turn us on, never gonna do the same for you.
Hey everyone, happy Teaser Talk Tuesday. It's Holly here and I'm super excited about today's guest. I've got Damien here with me from Aranda. Welcome, Damien. Super excited to have you on.
Hey, this is awesome. I love this. This is really cool.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. I know we chatted a few minutes before we were on air here and just talking about, like, you know, you guys are from Oklahoma. I'm super excited to dive into your story. You guys, I have been living underneath a rock apparently for the past years because as you guys may or may not know, I am from Oklahoma. And as you guys probably already know, Oklahoma is not known as like a music place in the sense of like Nashville or LA even. So needless to say, when people around here are talented and they make it, you should know about it. So yeah, I apologize because I've been completely living underneath a rock and robbing you guys from this interview, but I'm super excited to do it today. So Damien, let's just kick it off. I would love to hear about your guys' story. I know obviously you guys are not a brand new band. Like I just said, you guys have been around for years. You've had successful albums, lots of cool stuff happen. But let's just kick it back for those noobs like myself. And I would love to hear how you guys, like guys from Oklahoma, formed a band and just want to hear your story.
Yeah. So obviously we're brothers. So my brother's not here today, but we've been doing music really ever since I can remember. I remember when I was five or six, we used to put on a ton of like Beatles records on the little vinyl thing and, you know, and try to like sing harmony. And so that's one of the biggest things about our band is the harmony part of things. We definitely like dive into a lot of the old school classic part. When we were doing one of our albums with a guy, his name was Kato Kanwala, he was like, man, you guys are kind of like the heavy metal Eagles. Like the you put a lot of rock, but you have a lot of intricacy in the harmonies. And that really stemmed from what we started doing when we were little. You know, I just really got into like what you could do with a couple voices. And then obviously when you start learning about recording, then you learn like, oh man, we could stack this like 28 times and this is amazing. And so that's why we got into bands like the Beatles and Queen and stuff like that. And as we grew up, we went to high school at Northwest Classen. And Northwest Classen was an interesting place to grow up and do music because it already, honestly, you know, you talk about Oklahoma doesn't have a ton of on the rock side of things, but yeah, that was a very musical school. You know, they celebrated Vince Gill, who graduated from there. They Color Me Bad, which was a group that came from there. And, you know, I mean, they sold like 7-8 million records, you know what I mean? And as we were growing up, we were watching those guys' career and it was like, man, why not us? Why can't we, you know, make our dreams come true? Because we had seen it firsthand that these guys were celebrated at our high school, you know? So we used to go and do all the high school talent shows and do that stuff together. And then we met a guy, one of the guys from Color Me Bad, which is hilarious and awesome. He's become one of our best friend. His name was Sam Waters. And he was like, man, I really believe in you guys. I think you guys got something special. So we would go out as kids on the road with Color Me Bad, opening up shows for them. So we would just bring our acoustic guitar. I think I was 15 and my brother was like 14. Wow. And we would go and we would open up. And so obviously at that time, they were still pretty big. I think this was like 94, 95, something like that. And we would go and we would play and it would be so fun because it's like, man, they had like 7, 8, 9,000 people at their shows. And we were like, oh my gosh, we have made it. This is amazing. this is the thing. So we did that. And so we started Sam actually started taking a really hands-on approach with our band. And so he moved us out to San Francisco to where we were going to try to get a record deal, and we ended up signing in 2002 with Epic Records. And we signed through Tommy Mottola, which was at the time, I believe, is Mariah Carey's husband. And it was funny because we were a rock band, but Tommy was really big on, like, man, if you guys, he goes, if you guys want to play the bars and keep doing your, you know, cover music and doing all that stuff, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. I want to see you guys do more of a pop thing. And so we were like, oh man, do we do that? Yeah. 'Cause we're more of a rock thing, you know?
Yeah.
So Sam was like, man, just let's get this deal going and we'll figure it out on the fly. So it's like, okay, cool. So, one of the big things is he saw us more like a Hall and Oates kind of thing, you know, like a new Hall and Oates kind of thing, like more pop, but put some guitar in it and figure it out. So we were stuck in San Francisco for a while trying to figure out everything. And then Tommy Mottola leaves the label. And that kind of leaves us in like label purgatory.
Yeah.
And so we ended up like a lot of bands recording this expensive record that never came out. And so it sucked, you know, we kind of were like left to kind of regroup and figure out like what we were going to do. So there was a little independent label out of Florida called Astonish Records that really was like, oh, I think you guys are awesome and I love what you guys do, and just be yourself, record the record you always wanted to record. We'll fund it and promote it.
Wow.
It sounded amazing. That sounded like just the most amazing thing. So we did do that. And then we got proper management. And so think about it from this point, we had been in the game for probably a good 8-9 years and had the only proper touring that we had was with a pop group out of Oklahoma. So we had not done a ton of like major touring. We'd done a ton of stuff, but we had not done that. And so now we were kind of like, oh man, okay, now we're getting to do exactly what we want to do. So we got a proper manager. Everything was going well. And then we got our first single ever to spin on the radio called Still in the Dark. And that's when things just started happening. You know, it was like, oh man, I remember we were in Boston at a show and we were opening up. And back then, I mean, we were making like $50 a show, maybe, kind of thing. It was just like, man, just get up there and play, you know? Yeah. And we were happy to do it. It was fine. You know, we were in a van, you know, showering every other day kind of thing, just trying to figure it out, you know? And, you know, and we get up there and I remember we were driving in the van and it was the first time we heard our song on the radio. And it just made all of like, because man, I mean, getting kind of dropped from a label and trying to figure out stuff after you really think that you've like made something is very disheartening. And a lot of people are just like, man, just go get a job and, you know,
hang up the hat. It's time to give it up a little bit.
It's time to give it up. And we just never did, you know, we just it just didn't feel like that was an option. And luckily we had people that stuck by us and really believed in us during that time. So we finally got the song on the radio. Then we followed it up with another song called Why You Want to Bring Me Down. Well, at the same time all that stuff was happening, I was in another publishing deal writing songs for other people. And so two of the songs that I had been a part of ended up on a Kelly Clarkson record called All I Ever Wanted. One of them was called All I Ever Wanted. And the other song was a song that Aranda also did called Why You Want to Bring Me Down. And that was our second single. And so the cool thing about having that thing with Kelly was it really helped fund our touring while we were just trying to like make a name for ourselves. And so all through 2009 and 2010, you know, Why You Want to Bring Me Down was doing its thing. And we were really excited. It was our first song in the top 25, you know, at rock. And we were just like, man, we've done it, guys. We've done it, you know.
Pat yourself back there.
Well, you know, we were just so excited because it just had seemed like such a long journey. You know what I mean? It was just like, man. And the reason we got into music was, one, we freaking love it. Like, it's just, I don't know the expression of it, but also two, we really felt like we had something to say and that we could really connect with people. And I always say, you know, we admire people's strengths and we think that that's awesome in your life, but you really connect through brokenness.
Yeah.
And that's how you connect with people. It's just, yeah. And I feel like songs do that. And so we were so excited that some of these songs were connecting. And so, you know, we finally had gotten to a point now where it was like, go in and do a record that's really centered towards like where you guys are really getting a lot of traction, which at that point was kind of the active rock kind of stuff. So we went in with a guy, his name was Johnny Kay. And this is 2011. And we did a record called Stop the World. And to date, it's our most successful record easily, you know. But we went in super focused and we started recording these songs and we knew we had something. We were like, man, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. You're just kind of going, man, this is something. I hope everybody else sees it, but I think we got something here. So we're recording and we're doing stuff and we're going through all the songs and I had this one song that I wasn't even going to show anybody because it was like deep, like a deeply personal kind of like, oh man, this one hurts, man. I don't know if I want to even show it, but he was one, Johnny was like, man, I need to, let's hear a couple more songs just so we make sure. And so I was like, man, I have this one song, it's called Satisfied. And, you know, I just play it on the acoustic and, you know, I kind of stop, you know, I play it and then I stop. And then he's like looking at me and he goes, dude, this is like the best thing that you've played for me. Like we've went through 25 songs or whatever it was. And it was crazy because it ended up being like the biggest song of our career, mm-hmm. you know, and we put it down and it really goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier, which was it connected through a lot of brokenness, you know? And I remember when we'd start touring and this is when things really started popping off for us. I mean, we were getting on big tours with, you know, with Daughtry, Three Doors Down, Adelita's Way, which you went and saw the other yeah. night. And just a ton, I mean, it was Puddle of Mud. I mean, you name it, we were either, you know, the third band or direct support to these guys. And so it was really popping off. And that was the song that was just really taking off for us. And we would have people come up to the merch booth and, you know, they'd be like, man, I know exactly how you feel on that song. Oh man. Yeah. 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 And you just be like, man, this is just so wild, you know, so crazy. And so, you know, I know I'm being very long winded here, but
no, this is awesome. Like, this is exactly what I envisioned. So thank you so much for just being long winded.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, after that record, we did another record, with, a really great guy named Kato Kandwala. And he was at that time really up and coming producer. You know, he'd start just getting a lot of stuff going. He was an engineer before for a lot of big records like Breaking Benjamin and like tons of people. Anyway, so we get in with this guy and, you know, we're flying pretty high from Stop the World. So we're like, cool. So we get a big old batch of songs together and we go in and we meet him. And we give him all these songs and he was just like, he goes, this is horrible. Like, this is just like, I mean, we had never really met somebody just as golly, he was just so brutally honest, you know? And at this point we weren't really friends. So it was like borderline offensive, you know, at times. And so we get in there and I remember leaving that meeting going, Gabe, we can't do it with this guy. You know, this guy hates us, you know? And, you know, we were talking about, it's like, maybe this is exactly what we need to like the next level, man. Mm-hmm. So let's just go in with lots of humility and just listen. And we did, you know, and we recorded a song in LA or recorded a record in LA, this place called the Steakhouse. And it was really fun. He ended up being like one of our best friends. He was just amazing. And, I mean, just an unbelievable dude and really got the best out of us. And I remember the first time with Kato when he goes, dude, that was amazing, because he had told us we'd suck so much it really meant something when he yeah. said, dude, this is amazing. And so we recorded that record with him and then he went on to like do a bunch of other stuff. And then tragically, he was killed in a motorcycle accident in LA. And so when I think about that record in particular, it's kind of bittersweet because, you know, we always talked about the next one. Hey, we're going to do the next one together. We're going to do that. And it never came to fruition. But he is part of our story. You know what I mean? Because he's, and when you listen to that record, it is very different than the other records in the sense. In fact, I would venture to say that whenever you put on an Aranda record, that each record is kind of a timepiece and a piece of, I don't know if you want to call it a piece of art, but like it basically stands alone. Yeah. You know, it doesn't sound like the other things. And so we've always hung on our hat on like, man, we just didn't ever want to make the same record, you know, just because it was successful or not successful or whatever. We just like, man, we want to just keep progressing, I guess, is for us, you know. And so we did that. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We're now moving into a new phase where we're finishing up our next record, you know.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah. I can't wait to dive into that a little bit more. But wow, like there's so many questions I have, but I will be respectful of your time. So I'll try to keep like grab a couple of them. You know, it's interesting. You guys are brothers. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure you know people that like they have super talented, but they break up because of ego. They break up because of bad friendships. Or like it would be kind of hard to break up with your brother because at the end of the day, he's your brother. So how, like what, it's so interesting to me to see that you guys work and collaborate so well together. What would you contribute that to?
You know, we've had our share of disagreements and arguments, but there's definitely a mutual respect that we have for each other. One, man, you know, I won't go into it, but we've had our childhood was pretty intense in some ways, and we were always together. Yeah. So no matter who was coming in and out of our life, we had each other. And that was always a really big thing for us, you know, really big. I don't know. It's kind of, it was the bond that was kind of unbreakable, you know? So even when it's funny. I always think it's like, he could probably do one of the worst things that you could ever think of to me. And I would probably forgive him within a day and we would be, you know, he's just, I don't know. That's the kind of relationship we have.
That's super cool.
I love him dearly. And I think he thinks the same about me. And honestly, he's probably, I always feel like he's one of the most underrated singers around. And I also feel like he's just one of the most talented and genuine guys around. He's amazing.
I love hearing that. That's super cool. And, you know, being from Oklahoma, it's great that you got around that kind of environment to help you, like you said, Color Me Bad and stuff like that, to tour and stuff. But it's funny, if you guys are anything like me, like, I don't know if you know where Rush Springs is at, but that's my hometown.
Rush Springs. I do know where that is. That's up north, right?
That's actually south.
Then I'm thinking of Sand Springs then.
Probably. Yeah. And it's okay if you haven't heard of it, because it's literally like population 1300. So it's a super small town, like way small. And the small town in that that's in Oklahoma is even like, you know, kind of like smaller. Right. So thinking through, I feel like, growing up, I would assume that you guys have the kind of the same thing. You got almost like kind of shelter, because we are in the Bible Belt. Like you said, like Oklahoma, yes, we're known for some musicians, but it's more so on the countryside and it's a little bit different. I would love to hear, because I know I've had my share of times, but I'd love to hear like a story that you guys went from like kids from Oklahoma, small town, to like, oh my gosh, this is freaking nuts. What's an experience that really just blew your mind that was like, this is just batshit crazy. I can't believe this is happening.
Like, as far as from a professional level, like we went and did like a particular show, or like,
just what, I mean, I guess you could say one of those moments where you took a sheltered kid from Oklahoma to like say a crazy rave in LA, or I don't know. I'm just giving out examples. It can be personal, professional. I just love hearing about this, because like, I just know, like I, even as an adult still today, I'm like, is this really happening? I'm from Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, I would say any of our experiences outside of Oklahoma were always like, oh shoot. Okay. That's crazy. Okay. You know, when we moved out to San Francisco, I mean, there was a little bit of culture shock there. Yeah. Just, I mean, if you go into San Francisco at night and you're single and you're like, it is intense. You know, it's like, man, there's so many, there's a lot of things you could get yourself into. Yeah. And I remember just going to a few of the clubs back in the day and just going, this is like, whoa, this is really, really crazy. You know? So like if you would go into a club, let's just say somewhere downtown San Francisco, you'd walk in, it would be quite a bit different than anything you would experience in Oklahoma City. Yeah. Just because, I mean, and not saying that, you know, Oklahoma City is diverse and for sure. Got all sorts of stuff, but it's just, there is just all walks of life in those places. And, you know, when you're kind of like, you know, green, so to speak, when you're going in there, you're just having all these conversations and just getting your world blown, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a good assumption I had then, because, you know, I'm with you, not to knock Oklahoma, but we are, you know, we're Oklahoma, I guess I can just leave it at that.
Yeah. It's just a different mindset. One thing I do love about Oklahoma is that I feel like you could settle down here. Do you know what I mean? And with today's technology and the way things are, this is a really awesome, calm place to come back to. Yeah. And then if you're going to go do your professional life and go all over the place, it's great. But I do like coming back to Oklahoma.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely say, like, you know, the people too, you know, just a little bit humble, a little bit just different. I guess it's just home at the end of the day. So I agree with that statement for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, thinking about, like, obviously you guys had a great opportunity to be in the environment to go tour at such a young age, but, you know, some people too that might have the same opportunity could have took it and then just let it fizzle out after that. What would you say is something that you can contribute to breaking that barrier of being from such a small state and really having tenacity and being relentless when it comes to pursuing your music career?
I think out of high school, you kind of look at all your options, I guess, in life. It's kind of one of those things, like after high school, then you're like out on your own. Kind of me and my brother moved out right away. We just said, okay, we're out, and we're out on our own. And so it was really one of those things where it was like, man, we played Oklahoma City like constantly that first couple years we were out of high school. I mean, and, you know, I think once we started seeing, hey, you know, every time we go play, there's 300-400 people coming out to see us. And it was very consistent. And it was just like, man, this would be amazing to do for the rest of our lives. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, what came with that was we worked 60, 70, 80 hours at other jobs just so that we could go and experience the whatever 10 to 2 show at night, you know what I mean? And we would do that on the weekends, and we'd really have something to look forward to. And once we had a couple other people like Sam that were really like, man, you guys have what it takes to do this. You guys can do this. And just hearing that just a little bit, it kind of sealed the deal for us. It was just, it was kind of one of those, man, we just don't take no for an answer. We just keep going. And believe me, we've had millions of disappointments, but we just put our heads down and just go, man, we love to do this. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, we'll break through some way.
That's awesome to hear. It's really like not taking no for an answer, right?
Yeah.
You can't beat somebody who doesn't give up, right?
Well, you hear some of like the greatest bands and like people from bands that always, a lot of them have that same story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear so many people are like, man, every record label turned us down. Every, you know, we would go places and they would throw stuff at us or whatever, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, it's the guys that break through that and just know, I don't know, it's almost a spiritual thing where it's man, you know what I mean? It's like, man, you created me, you gave me something. I've got to use it. I've got to do it. You only get one life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, man, live it, do it.
And I'm sure too, like when you guys first started out, it was super disappointing because you look up to, like you said, Beatles, you dropped a bunch of big names at the very beginning of this. And you know, usually you don't see that. You don't see their failures because they're nobody at that point in time, right? So that's super cool that you guys just kind of kept through it, you know, getting back up. So yeah, kudos to you guys and super excited that you did, because years later, here I am kind of catching up with you guys.
You're like, I've never heard a song of yours, but still.
Oh, I have. I have. I promise you I have. But it was like 2 weeks ago. It was the first time. Yeah,
all good. All good.
So yeah, we took a trip down memory lane, and I appreciate you go through your story. Super cool to hear how you guys are just relentless and just didn't take no for an answer. So let's talk about now. Let's talk about recent. You guys have a few recent drops. You've dropped Compartmentalize in July, which was your single, and then you dropped Blue Sky this month, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about a little bit about your singles? And I know that you said you guys are working on an album. Would love to kind of tease fans with what you guys have in the works.
Yeah. I mean, obviously during the pandemic, a lot of us had a lot of time to write music and just kind of contemplate kind of what's happened in the last year, year and a half. And, you know, our inspiration for the record really starts kind of when Cato passed away. And it really set off a chain of events for us that we lost a lot of people in like a year, and it was amazing. So right after Cato passed away, our sound guy for that had been on the road for us for 10 years had a heart attack and passed away. And he was pretty young. I mean, he was 49, wow. You know, Cato was 47 when he passed away. And then, so we're grieving. And then a few months later, our dad passes away.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
And you know, he was only 63, you know, and you're just like, what the hell else could happen? Just really, what the hell else could happen? And it was just, and 2 weeks after my dad passes away, our drummer, he passes away, him and his wife pass away, in a really just unbelievable, tragic situation. And at that point, you know, we're four of these really important people in our lives in, and it's just crazy.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And it's funny. The first song for the record, we had started in December of 2018, and, Mike, our drummer, we have all the footage and stuff, and we'd started it, and this is okay. We're getting ready to do this. Yeah. And as we're overdubbing and doing some stuff, I got the call about our dad while we're recording that particular song. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then literally 2 weeks later, we start talking about like trying to figure out, pick up the pieces, figure it out. And then Mike passes away. So we shelved everything. We were just like, in fact, you know, there was a part, especially with Mike, he was such a big part of our sound and so reliable. Like we could literally not practice for 6 months and go do a show. And because he was our drummer, it would actually sound good. And it wouldn't sound good because of us. It would sound good because of him, because of how good he was. And so, so then fast forward, you're into the pandemic now and you're sitting there and you're just, I don't know, all this stuff started coming to our minds, and the themes of the songs are very much like, you can tie them back into loss, but you can also, we wanted to connect. It's almost like, man, do you guys feel the way we feel right now? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the one thing with our first single from that record, or from the record that's coming up, Compartmentalize, that was very much like, man, we all do that. We all, and honestly, sometimes we hurt other people by doing that, you know, where we don't let people in, and we almost, in some ways, sometimes you would go, man, am I living a double life? Because you don't even know what I'm freaking thinking right now.
Yeah.
I'm compartmentalizing all this pain. I'm compartmentalizing all this anger. I'm compartmentalizing just to be able to survive. And what you notice that by you, when you do that, it actually hurts other people more than you think, you know, you're thinking you're protecting yourself, but it actually hurts everybody, including yourself, you know?
I think it's worse, more so because you're just bottling it up and keeping it. You're completely spot on.
Yeah. You know, and, we do, we went in and did another song called Blue Sky, which is our latest release. And we, wrote it with actually a local artist here in town, and her name's Bator, And we were actually, it was just one of those sessions. We were actually writing the song for her, and we started writing it. And, you know, afterwards we were like, man, we actually, this could actually be something for us.
Yeah.
So she graciously was like, man, I would rather you guys do it anyway. So cool. You guys do it. And so, you know, I love the message of the song, and kind of, you know, I think it speaks to a lot of us. You know, the one of the lyrics is, I'm too low, I'm too high, but extremes, they get me by. Every day I try to see a blue sky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I think
when we walk out the door, that's kind of the way it is, right?
Yeah,
you know, 100%. there's highs, there's lows, but man, the one thing that keeps us going is hope, you know, yep. is a future. You know what I mean? Without dreams, without those things, without anything to look forward to, there's not very much of a blue sky. And so that's kind of like throughout the chaos and the turmoil, I think we can always at least hope for a blue sky. And yeah. I think that's the thing that keeps us going, you know?
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, I definitely look forward to it. So can you share with us kind of an ETA on when you guys plan to drop the new album?
Yeah. So the way we're kind of doing it, and music has changed so much in the last 5 years, yep. you know, in the way that people release. And honestly, we're with a distribution company called Fuel Music now. And one of the biggest things that we talk about is like, how many swings do you get to just get stuff out there and really get it promoted? If you put a record out these days, you're really putting it out there with one song and then it's over. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so we thought, wow, it'd be really cool to space out some of these songs and kind of trickle up into that. So we have another release coming out November 19th. It's a song called I Can't. And lyrically, I think it's one of the better songs we've ever written. You know, it's just really, when you talk about reflection and you talk about the state of the world, and you talk about just, I think, what's going on in our hearts. One of the lines in it is, we buy and sell the lies that cause division. Mm-hmm. And it's just really one of those things where you're just kind of verbally processing what the hell happened.
Yeah. I was gonna say, damn, that's deep.
But what the hell happened to us, you know, and how can we get it back to where we deeply care about each other and that we're not all in it for ourselves, but we're in it together.
Yeah.
And so that kind of feels like it's one of those kind of songs, but it can be challenging when you read it. I'm anxious to see, you know, what the response is from that, you know? And then in January, releasing a song called The Light in Dark. And it really has a lot to do with mental health issues. And specifically, my dad had a lot of mental health issues. And as we were writing it, that we were able to pull a lot of things, not only from ourselves, but from his life. And, and hopefully people can connect with it. You know what I mean? Because that mental health is, I mean, when it's not in a good place, mm-hmm. I mean, there's not much quality of life, you know,
100%.
And, so we're doing that. And then in March, wait,
there's more.
Yes. Wait, there's more. And then in March, we're releasing the whole record.
Very cool.
And we have got an unbelievable, song coming out, I think, with that, with one of our favorite guitar players of all time. His name's Vernon Reed, and he's from the band Living Color. And, he did a feature on it, and we just can't wait to get it out. They're like childhood heroes for us, Cult of Personality and all that. So, you know, you're just like, man, these guys are legends. And so for him to, we had met him on one of the Ship Rocks and became really good friends with him. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The record, I'm really excited about the record because it's just overall, I think the themes are really deep and introspective, but also too, I think you can connect with it.
That's super awesome. Yeah. You know, just a lot to look forward to, but you said Shipwrecked, which kind of makes me think, like, I personally have never been on a cruise just because the thought of being trapped on a small area with the same people, like, would absolutely, it just terrifies me. Like, I'm not afraid of drowning. I'm not afraid of the water. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would be, I'm sure, if something happened, but the thought is just I'm trapped with these people, but I'm pretty sure my first cruise is going to be like a shipwreck because like I would rather be trapped on a cruise with the people that I want to be trapped on, not, you know, somebody who got it as a free giveaway from a radio station or something.
Yes. Yes. I mean, shipwrecked would be an unbelievable, it's an unbelievable experience. Yeah. And it kind of, once you go on it, you feel like you're part of a community.
That's what I think. That's anybody that's ever went, whether it's somebody that's played as an artist or a fan that's just attending, they've all said the same thing.
And you meet lifelong friends. Yeah, and cool. It's just really, I recommend it. You know, I think it's amazing. I mean, we're going to be on the next one in January, which is in a couple months, and excited. We're excited about that. And, you know, it's just, I think if anybody wants to go get like a pure rock experience and then still be able to go out on the beach too, that's in January, and especially for Oklahomans.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, totally, man, get me out of here.
After the end of this recording, I might have to hop over there and see if there's still tickets available because, yeah, you're absolutely spot on. January, no thank you in Oklahoma.
Yes, yes.
Very cool. So sorry about that squirrel. You just triggered that. What made me have all these, you know, things going on in my brain to think about it. But, yeah, super cool to hear about all the drops. And I love how you guys are kind of strategically dropping them and then the whole album in March. So aside from all the awesome music that you guys will be teasing with us until March, is there anything else that you guys are working on, maybe a tour or anything that you want to share with everyone coming from maybe at the end of 2021 or 2022?
So as far as like playing right now, we really want to finish up the record this year, but we really, the expectation for us is right when the album drops for us to be out on the road.
Very cool.
So you could look for Aranda in March for sure on the road.
Very cool. We'll definitely be looking out for that. Damien, I appreciate you hopping on and chatting with us, taking us down your entire story, as well as some cool current stuff that you guys are working on. So for everyone listening are underneath the rock, where's the best place for them to go and follow you guys?
Arandamusic.com. We are getting that website up and cooking again. And so you're going to be able to get most of the stuff for us. I mean, obviously Aranda Music on our Instagram page, you know, our Facebook page, all that stuff. But Arandamusic.com, especially here in the next couple months, is going to be the place to go.
Very cool. Well, Damien, again, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for hopping on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate you too, Holly. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Teaser Talk.
We look forward to seeing you next Teaser Talk Tuesday. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss it.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Teaser Talk. This way, we can keep up with you guys until the next episode.